In society, very often people are very individualistic. When you are individualistic, you are not so compassionate, you are not caring for others, you don't pay attention to how the world and ecology are going, and you are only caring for yourself, caring for your own gain and pleasure, and all those things. And so individualism is sort of sickness. And spirituality is supposed to help people not to be too individualistic. But, you know, there is no answer really. Maybe culture, society, and religions must develop a vision in that sort of community and compassion are central.
When I think of individualism, I think of other words that come with it, such as lack of interdependence. Society was very interdependent at one time, either in the form of a family, a community, and village. In my little way of thinking, all this individualism started with when the Industrial Revolution came into being. Then I think was the beginning of when the movement towards reducing interdependence between human beings began. And for a society to function well, a certain amount of interdependence on human level is healthy. Well, we have moved away from it, and the West especially has moved very much more, and now the East is also moving in this direction. And so that's one issue that we are finding, that we lack something. And oftentimes that lack ends up in a therapist or a psychiatrist's office. At the same time, we are not able to bring out the blossom that we are. Each one of us is a flower. We can bloom to be a very unique flower. No two flowers are the same if you look carefully. We're not allowing that to happen because we are still acting like sheep that is being herded by a heavy sense of consumerism. It's unbelievable what consumerism has done to human beings. So they are always doing what is called keeping up with the Joneses in terms of getting a car, getting a house, getting amenities and everything, fixing your home exactly like how your neighbor does, or you compare and contrast with what other people are doing. And in following those instincts, we are no different from sheep. So we are being herded. And so on one hand, you see this interdependence, the lack of interdependence, what it has done. And yet you have seen what this herding instinct has done to the human being. Increasingly, I think we are allowing other people to think for us. We have lost the capacity to think for ourselves. In this case, for instance, media and consumerism and what the other people are doing is so strong, particularly media. Media, you allow media to be your thoughts. You begin to follow exactly the way they want you to think. Therefore, what happens is you have lost the capacity to think for yourself, to rationalize for yourself. The effect of media to suppress and to induce fear is not recognized by a lot of people because media is very attractive. So it's this attractiveness of the media that makes them blinded to the fact that it's affecting them, and they don't even know that it's affecting them. So the only way to do it, a practical way that I think, is to stay away from the media for a while, do something like you have fasting from food, then fast from media, fast from reading the newspapers, fast from all that. And then you catch yourself, if you do it long enough, then you will see whatever changes you are having inside of you, what we call volitions of your mind, the volitions that you had before, you no longer have them. In many ways, you are freer, and also the better part of you surfaces up that you didn't even know existed. Then you make the separation. Why was I behaving that way, thinking that way? Why was it affecting me that way? And you will directly point to the fact it was because the media, you allowed rather the media to manipulate you, to manipulate your thinking. And once you recognize that, you may be able to control how much time you spend watching news and becoming and even handling some of these multimedia things, you will catch yourself, because you have to practice what's like you're a sentry guard on yourself. It's not to avoid it, but really manage it. And so the better part of you will remain the better part of you. To make a major difference in the path which we are now on, it would take not just individuals, it would have to be on a massive scale. And this has to start with each person trying to figure out what really matters in life, why we are here, what is our purpose, how can we transform, because many of us already know what we are doing by our behavior to this world. Now we already have the awareness. The question is, are we ready to do something about it? And towards that, it would have to begin with your own self, then moving into smaller and then bigger circles, going from you to your family or your group, then to society, to state, and to the country. And I think if we start this process from starting with us, with each person, inquiring questions that are very, very important, basic questions, then I think we'll have a massive movement towards shifting the direction in which we are currently engaged in. And as they say, bring more light givers into this world. Bring more light into this world. It's very, very possible. We may be on an edge as far as that is concerned.
Buddhism says the Eightfold Path, you know, right thinking, right viewing, right understanding, right action, right knowledge, right meditation, all those things. And when you follow that, we can attain some liberation. And so we have to think about that. What is our life, right way of living, right way of thinking, and what will be authentic purpose, goals in life, that we have to reflect. And individuals alone cannot do that. So spiritualities, religions must help us to formulate, to find goals.
If one realizes that there is only one simple reason why we are here, and that's simply to transform, then you know you have to look for tools that'll help you to transform. And the tools come from various religions, various philosophies. And what you do is try to understand how those tools can help you understand who you are. Not just simply who you are, but what are you constituted of, in the sense of your mind, what is the mind, what is the intellect, what is your body, what are your physiological systems, and how do they all operate, and then with interrelationships, then you find how does the mind operate in interrelationships. then you begin to understand that anger, greed, and all of these are very normal, normal flashes that happen, and that you have the power within you to manage it. You cannot destroy it. You cannot destroy anger. You cannot destroy greed, because these things come up again and again. Fear, jealousy, anger will come up again and again and again. But if you learn to manage it, the duration of such a thing will be very minimal, number one. Number two, you acting upon it may almost become nil. So it's very, very important to take tools, whatever is available from the various religions, from the various philosophies, to transform yourself. And believe me, this process of transformation never stops. It's an ongoing process, because you have to be like a sentry guard on yourself all the time. But it does pay off. It does pay off.
Try to understand who you are, you know, but understanding who you are cannot be simply divorced from the community, from the world. You must become part of the community, and then part of the teacher-student relationship, and only there you can sort of follow this inquiry. And this inquiry must lead you not to be separated from the world, must lead you to community, to the world, because the self-inquiry simply means you realize that you are on openness to the world, openness to reality.